You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
Today,
the Bard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
My soul is wondering, right? And I've tried to plug it up with stuff, but it really doesn't bring long-term rest. My rest must come from the Lord. Glory to God. In other words, my mind has to be on Him. My intellect has to be surrendered to Him. My memories have to be given back to Him. My imagination has to be given to Him. And my emotions must be released back to the Lord. And then my soul rests in the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Don't Hesitate, It's Time to Move. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Genesis chapter 24, verses 54 through 58.
Because the Bible says Ishmael, please don't name your kids Ishmael, was a wild ass of a man. I said wild ass. No boundaries. Slapping the boy upside the head. He didn't care. When he was 13 years old, he was circumcised. Not when he was a little boy. So he's living in a house of covenant, but he don't have the mark. He's in the church, but he don't know how to unveil his soul. He still got a hood on from the world. He's insensitive to the things of God. Won't even lift up his hands when it's time because it's manly. It's not manly. Still got a reflection of the world in him. He had not totally surrendered to God. He's got the lingo, but he doesn't have the mark of covenant in him. He hasn't bled yet. He hasn't gone through the pain of covenant. He doesn't understand it. He's not yielded to God. Yet resources are coming. He's making it in the world. He's growing up in the world. He's got stuff happening. Everybody else is talking about how powerful he is. And when you look at Ishmael in the Middle East, he has nations. And that little boy Isaac only have one company, one little piece of land next to Gaza. But he's got all of those nations that came out of his loins, just like God said it would happen, with all of the oil and all of the resources. Yet no mark of covenant. Don't know who our God is. Don't tell me they don't know their God. I'm talking about our God. And I want to be bold when I speak here because it's important. The young man Isaac had to deal with all of that, yet not comprehending. So he grows up, his mother dies, his father remarries. Check it out, you'll see it. He remarries. Sometimes the new wife don't like the old children. I'll just preach myself happy. You can't be bringing everybody in your house thinking it's going to be cool. It just don't work that way. There had to be some grace and mercy. And I believe something happened to the man. After his father dies, he did. His father dug wells. The Philistines come over. The Amalekites come over and refill his wells with sand. Everything that should be pumping for him is drying up. I thought you say God was going to do this. And I thought you say God was going to do that. And then his father says that God just told him to take his son to Mount Moriah and offer him. I'm looking at the psychology of the boy. What do you mean sacrifice me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he takes wood. And he allows it to be placed on his shoulder as his father marches him up to Mount Moriah, not knowing that he's a replica of Jesus carrying a cross. God brings him down. He still doesn't understand it. He's not known for his intellect. He's just a man that's chosen. And here in this wonderful book of Genesis 24, God starts dealing with his heart. Under a tent that his mother erected, the Bible says he took Rebekah into his mother's tent, Sarah's tent. Maybe there was a spice there that he remembered. Maybe it was a pillow that he laid on. But he felt comfortable. It doesn't even say he had his own. God has to shake him from this dependency on his mother. And the scripture says that he took Rebekah into his mother's tent. She became his wife there. He went into covenant there. And then he loved her. He fell in love with Rebekah. And he was comforted. In other words, he wasn't looking outside of the tent for comfort. He wasn't looking outside of that relationship for comfort. Something happened in the tent that settled his heart. And something is going to happen in the tent of restoration today. Amen. Amen. I said something is going to happen. And I'm speaking by faith. I have never preached on this before in my life. I've never seen it. But he spoke to me as I came up. A needle is sticking in the bottom of my left foot to wake me up. And I thought I'd slept an hour, and it was 10 minutes. And some of you are going to step into a Sabbath rest to where in 10 minutes you're going to recover an hour's worth of waste. Glory to God. In a fraction of the time, he's going to restore your strength. Glory, hallelujah. In a fraction of the time, he's going to restore your resolve and your vision. As though he saw camels when Rebecca is coming, she saw clearly a man. As they joined together, his sight is restored, not in himself, but in his wife. In other words, she can see clearly what he couldn't. What is that? Rebecca said, it is a camel. So what is that? That's the devil. And when you don't have vision, grab somebody that does and hold on to their coattail. Amen. Instead of wandering around somewhere talking about I can't see, grab somebody that can and let them lead you into higher heights and deeper depths. And he was comforted from his mother's death. I believe his mother, Sarah, knew he was losing his sight, and he would depend on her. And Rebecca filled that slot. We get overwhelmed, tired, exhausted. We need rest. Say, I need some rest. The body and the soul needs rest. Because rest allows essential repairs, rejuvenation, and restoration to take place in the physical, also in the mental. So when you rest, there is a rejuvenation, a restoration that takes place both physically and mentally. Some of us may feel like we're resting physically, but mentally we're stressed out. It also affects our spirit. Our energy level is low. We have to enable our vision to be restored. Our functionality must be restored. We got to give the body a time and a moment to heal. And when we rest, muscles heal, tissues heal. We replenish resources when we rest. The liver has a chance to do its job. It's not overloaded. And for those of us that are secret closet alcoholics, give your liver some rest. I'll say it on this side. I couldn't get no help on that one. If you are a closet alcoholic and you're drinking a lot, I'm asking you to give your liver some rest. Amen. Even if you don't want to hear the Lord, your liver is saying, please stop it. I can't handle the poison. you're causing me to stumble. I'm trying to filter this poison out and so you don't stagger and get a DUI. Because if you get one, it's going to mess up your employment. They're going to take you to jail. Then you're going to ask Bishop to bail you out, but I ain't coming. Because I warned you. We need to de-stress. Write it down. The reason why God is erecting a tabernacle, there's too much anxiety in the midst of us. We need to de-stress. When you de-stress and you go through this restoration, God is going to restore your health again. When I looked at the Word of God, the Bible describes rest in many different ways. Number one, Sabbath rest. Glory. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, 6 days shall you labor and do all of your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, a Sabbath rest. Here God is speaking not to the entire world, though the Ten Commandments is the moral code. Rest here is a day, but in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I got another message at 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath. Yes. In other words, the day in the Old Testament is a person in the new. Amen. Now understand Seventh-day Adventists and understand apostolic folk and people who came from different teachings. If you can ever grasp this, that the person of the Sabbath day is Jesus, you're going to rest from your labor of trying to not move on the seventh day, which is basically a Saturday. The Christian church has service on Sunday. We've designated Sunday as the day that we enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise. But Jews, the ones that got this law, meet on Saturday, and the Seventh-day Adventists meet on Saturday, and it is a law that you're not supposed to break. But listen to me. The Sabbath day is a person, and his name is Jesus. Glory to God. And if you can ever get in him, you will find rest for your souls. Glory, hallelujah. Here's another rest called soul rest. Soul rest. It offers a rest from worry. And the six or five or six chambers of your soul is able to rest. Out of Psalm 62 and verse 1, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. My soul is wondering, right? And I've tried to plug it up with stuff, but it really doesn't bring long-term rest. My rest must come from the Lord. Glory to God. In other words, my mind has to be on him. My intellect has to be surrendered to him. My memories have to be given back to him. My imagination has to be given to him. And my emotions must be released back to the Lord. And then my soul rests in the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's also a rest that comes when we're blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. And if you got a hex, the devil is defeated. And if you got needles, the devil is defeated. And if you got me as a doll and you sticking stuff in me, you are defeated. I said, the devil is defeated. We are blessed, 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 blessed. Say it with me, you're blessed. Say it with me, I am blessed. Glory to God, and no hex can stop that. Amen. Psalm 4, verse 8, in peace I will lay down and sleep or rest, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Glory to God. I like Psalm 4 and 8. In peace I will lay me down. In peace, I will lay me down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. And here's my passage out of Matthew 11. And if you can grab it, it's going to set you free from the bondage of the Sabbath, which is it must be a specific day and you have to follow certain rules. No, you need to be in Christ. Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you. And if you check the word out, it's Sabbath. I will give you rest. There's also a rest in worship. A rest in worship. Psalm 46, which is one of my greatest psalms. God is my refuge and my strength, my very present help in the time of trouble. If you keep reading that passage, it says he calls his people to be still. So just be still and know that I am God. That be still, or that respite, or that Selah in the psalm, is when the music stops and there's a rest before you go to the next verse. Glory to God. So I just want a three second rest in the midst of us. One, two, three, rest. Clap your hands and give God the glory and the praise. And that's what God is about to do to your chaos. Before you go to the next bar, before you start playing again, before you start getting involved in your orchestra, God said, can you take a moment and just be still and know that I am God? And from the seed of the be still moment, God is going to open you up to a life of Sabbath rest. And it is so in the name of Jesus. I'm commissioned by God to erect a tabernacle of rest, restoration, and revival today. Amen. And when you pray, you're going to rest. All right. Philippians 4 and 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Hallelujah. I like the way Paul put that. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. The man is basically saying that as you pray, you got to learn how to not be anxious about it. Relax in the moment. Give yourself a Selah. Get quiet. Be still and know that I am God. But in the same place, or in the same region, or in the same segment, you got to learn how to give God thanksgiving in everything. So it may not be good here. Eyesight may be dim, may be lonely, but get in the tent. Something is coming. You got to learn how to grab his hand. You got to learn how to grab God's hand when you don't understand him. You got to learn how to go with God when you don't know what's going to happen next. And let the Holy Ghost, or the servant of the Lord, guide you from the Negev into a place that's smaller than the Negev. It's just a tent. But in there, you're going to find the love of God. You're going to find the gracelets of God. You're going to find companionship in God. You're going to find your purpose in God. God, and you're going to start moving into a Sabbath rest that you've never experienced before, and you will become the eyesight for the dim, and you will become the strength for those that have lost a loved one along the way, because God is at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I looked at the Hebrew rest, and it is Noah. Noah. Noah means rest. It is a rendition of Noah. Glory to God. Who built a house or an ark for the saving of his household. Glory to God. And he preached with a lot of frustration. Nobody heard what he was saying. He was in the future with what he's preaching, and people couldn't catch it. He was talking about it's going to rain, and it never rained before. Mist was coming from the earth. They never saw rain pour. He was preaching about a downpour that had never happened before for 120 years without an audience, 120 years without an amen, 120 years without anyone gathering, and he stayed faithful, and he kept building what he never saw before, because he had a pattern. Glory to God. And the Hebrew writer said he built an ark for the saving of his own house. Let me tell you something, when people don't understand you, and when they malign you and make you a pariah, God will allow you to construct something that will save your house. Hallelujah. And there's nothing greater than to give soup to your grandkids. There's nothing greater than to see your legacy established. Come on, legatus. You've got to have a legacy. You got to have somebody that's standing behind you that God uses you to save. And if you can't save the ones that's older than you, grab the ones that's younger than you. Glory to God. We also rest from our weariness. Rest from your weariness. Some people like relaxation rest, but don't stay there too long. We need a Sabbath rest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As I close this message and begin to pour some more beer, Lahairoi is the place that Isaac occupied. What I found out, check this out, is that his brother that couldn't stand him, Ishmael, dwelled in the same place, but when his father died. So when Abraham died, Ishmael moved to the same land because he was grieving. When Isaac's mother died, he would go there to meditate. Both brothers couldn't stand each other, but they found themselves in the same spot. Are you in the same spot with your relatives? Finding yourself occupying and meditating in the same joint that they meditated in. It had nothing to do with God, though. How many of us are following bloodlines and how we move and issues in how we move versus following the Spirit? Isaac pushed himself into a place where he's meditating, but it wasn't a place for him to live. So God interrupts it. While he's there, here comes his next move. And he moves from this spot in the desert into his mother's tent, and his life is changed. Oil, and I'm believing God that everybody who has oil here today, I want you to take your oil, anoint yourself when you take it home, and anoint your homes. Amen. Come on, we're casting out the spell. Amen. The spell breaker anointing is here. Anoint your children. If they don't like it, anoint something that they're going to wear. And then send it to them. Something that they're going to touch. You say, but man, well, I don't understand that. Listen, this, there's no healing in the oil. It's a point of contact. Just, you got to see it can go where you can't go. It's in obedience with scripture. The anointing is in the Holy Ghost, but it's a point of contact. So by faith, just like me joining hands, a point of contact. When you lay this oil, it is the point of contact. Do y'all understand that? This says, this is biblical. You need to understand how God moves. And this is how God is going to move in your life as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, as the seal of this oil is broken, thank you for the blessing of the Lord resting upon it. For every person under the sound of my voice, and for those who have oil on the altar, I pray now that you would anoint the oil. And I thank you, Lord, that as faith is applied according to your word, even according to James chapter 5, that healing will come to the body, clarity to the mind. Demons would go, flee. By faith, I decree and declare unity, comfort to a heart, clarity of thought and mind. Thank you for the joining together of your people. Thank you, Lord, for a migration to the tent of restoration. Help us to move from the Negev into the tent that you've erected so we can find comfort and rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Clap your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, don't hesitate, it's time to move. Visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
February is American Heart Month, a great time for everyone to focus on cardiovascular health. Knowing your risk factors is an essential part of keeping your heart healthy. Take charge of your health by checking your blood pressure and cholesterol levels and gaining other important heart health education from a medical professional. The 2025 Black History Month theme, African Americans and Labor, focuses on the various and profound ways that work and working of all kinds, free and unfree, skilled and unskilled, vocational and voluntary, intersect with the collective experiences of Black people. This month-long observation is an opportunity to understand Black histories going beyond stories of racism and slavery to spotlight Black achievement.
Tuesday, February 25th will mark the 13th bishopric anniversary of our beloved pastor, Merton Clark. Truth Nation, show the bishop some love online at truthrevealed.org or the Truth Revealed mobile app. Cash App is also available at Truth Revealed too. Checks be payable to Truth Revealed and bishopric anniversary should be indicated on the memo line.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day. Thank you.